Hey, everybody. Special treat in store for you today. My conversation with Dave Rubin from The Rubin Report. Dave's a fun guy, really good friend, a great American. I think you're going to love this conversation. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to support us, it's charliekirk.com/support, charliekirk.com/support. Dave Rubin is here, and this episode is brought to you by ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Stop handing your data over to big tech companies. So go to ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Dave Rubin is here. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Dave, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Kirk, this is very exciting. I am around people for the first time in about 10 months, real human beings. And frankly, I don't know what to do with myself.
You're the only one that refers to me by my last name. I always feel like I'm in trouble, like it's like fifth grade football or something.
I pretend you're Captain Kirk.
There you go.
Yeah.
So have you done a Rogan yet and left California?
I haven't. Well, I've left in that I'm here in the free state of Florida.
You look happy.
And you're not going to believe this. So last night I went to a place where a stranger, a complete stranger, I sat down at a table and a stranger, this woman, just approached the table with a little notepad. She asked me what I wanted to eat. And then I told her. And then about 15 minutes later, she came back with that food and I ate it and paid for it and left. You understand?
It's magic.
You can't do that in California. I went to a restaurant, Charlie. Are you following me here? It was a restaurant.
That was a tough
yeah,
thing.
No, it's crazy. I live in a place that is under complete lockdown with a mayor.
Perpetually.
With a mayor that literally doesn't want me to walk my dog. When I walk my dog in the morning, I'm an enemy of the state. That's a problem.
Are you contemplating leaving legitimately?
Yeah, we're thinking about it. We're thinking about it.
It's, I mean, at some point, the
at some point,
tax,
it's enough.
It's...
Yeah. Well, look, you got the weather. SoCal has the weather. It's 75 to 82 every day. It's beautiful. That's why you live there. That's the purpose of living in SoCal. At some point, if everything else is – it's not like the people are that great. I mean, the people are pretty terrible, actually.
No, your friends aren't leaving.
Yeah, my friends have all left. You know, the funny thing about the Daily Wire guys going is that I had Michael Knowles and his wife over for dinner. And we had dinner and I kept saying to him, you know, I was like, Michael, you know, we should stay because there's something to be said about staying and fight. Let's see if we can do it. And he's like, I'm going to stay and fight with you, Dave. Me and you, we will stay and we will fight together. The next morning, Ben announced that the Daily Wire was leaving and Knowles was like, all right, I'm out of here. Like literally like that. Yeah.
And at some point, the 14% income tax kind of wears on you when you have the entire state locked down. And it's even worse than that if you count all the price of living.
I mean, in a way, the money thing, look, you know my feelings on taxes. We're
of course
lined up there. I'm not thrilled to pay taxes, but I'm willing to do it.
But it's also the quality of life thing.
Right. So if everything is closed down and you can't go anywhere and you got to put masks to go to the store and just every restaurant's destroyed and you walk down just the main boulevards and every restaurant is boarded up and there's just nothing there, well, then at some point you're like, well, at the human level, forget the money. It's just like, what am I doing? What am I doing? So I'm, you know, kidding when I talked to you about going to a restaurant last night. But it's like just in the half a day that I've been in Florida, just to see people outside, you know, and you forget what it's like to see someone smile. Like we're literally losing where you just see people's eyes. You can't read cues on their face. It's almost we just have these robotic experiences with people. And then they lock you in your house. And you're just doing this all day and you're on Twitter all day arguing with genderless unicorns. And it's like, man, maybe there's more to life.
And yeah, this year has been, I mean, you and I sat down last year and we talked about everything that was going to happen. No one could have predicted this, right? I mean,
we did not predict this. I didn't predict the zombie apocalypse.
And so many of the things that you've been warning about for years have now just been accelerated.
Yeah.
Where we're seeing the tech giants just be more emboldened than ever before, kind of a lot of people almost dehumanized what you just mentioned. And before we get into all that, I do want to say, because I want to mention this, you deserve a lot of credit and you deserve to be complimented the way you came out in favor of President Trump. And I know you received, I'm sure, a lot of backlash for that. But no, it was very well received.
Yeah, well, thanks.
By me.
Well,
and the president.
By you and the president.
But it was
well,
heroic nice. And it was courageous.
Well,
and it was noted.
I said to you about 2 years ago, we were doing a gig. I don't even
in
remember
UConn
where
or
we were.
Right?
We were somewhere.
That long drive.
Yeah, and we were taking a drive. And I kept saying to you, this is about 2 years ago. I said, you know, I'm not quite there on Trump yet.
I remember that.
But
I was working
but,
you too.
But yeah, no, and you were working me. But and Candace was back there too.
Oh, yeah.
And you guys were both going at it. And I kept saying, listen, I'm not there yet.
I
and
remember.
I'm still, because my feeling was for years in this, there is a goodness to liberalism that I know is worth saving.
Small
and
I
know, yeah. And I know you believe that even as a conservative, but I don't think it can be saved anymore. And, you know, you just sat down with James and he details this at a highly academic level. But I think in essence, what really has happened in the world is that we have seen the complete and utter collapse of liberalism. There are no liberals left because anyone that has any liberal thoughts, whatever that might be. So someone who maybe wants a little more public education than you want, or maybe someone is, as I would still describe myself, by the way, begrudgingly pro-choice, which I know is a huge no-no for the conservatives. But by the way, Rudy Giuliani feels the same way. So conservatives have shown themselves to be a wide political tent. If you're a liberal in any sense, you're a conservative.
And you're also gay, just for our listeners.
Yeah, big damn whoop. And I'm only gay after 8 p.m., so it doesn't matter. A couple of people got that. All right. And by the way, congratulations on your traditional upcoming marriage. That's very exciting.
Yes.
A man and a woman getting married. Wild.
Yes. It's a rarity nowadays.
Yeah. No, that's great. And we support you no matter. Sure, you have an alternate lifestyle, whatever. But the point is that defending liberalism is now a conservative position. And that doesn't mean that conservatives have to get on board all the excesses of liberalism, because what we're seeing with the woke left are just the excesses of liberalism. Liberals have no defense and they have let the parasite in. And basically what you're watching is you're watching an alien movie. They've let the alien in and it's, you know, just, it has taken over the body and it's going to burst forth and eat everybody. So the idea of the moderate Democrat or something like that. No, if you're a moderate Democrat, you're a conservative now. You want to save America, you're a conservative now. So I have no problem saying that I'm a conservative at this point.
That's phenomenal. And yeah. I've been saying that about you for years. I just never wanted to, you know, put the label on it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's also kind of, what do these terms actually even mean anymore? And basically, if you love this country and you love what it stands for, you want to see it have better days, and you're not in the business of perpetually bashing on our history, and you like the freedom of speech thing, you're conservative. That's basically the definition.
Right. Well, look, I'm trying to conserve the fact that I think America is the greatest country in the history of the world that has given more freedoms to more people than any other country, that still to this day, with as screwy as it is at the moment, nobody was leaving. Literally nobody is leaving, and people still want to come here. Mm-hmm. They can joke all they want about us. Oh, the Europeans don't like you. That's what they always say. Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
First off, I don't even think it's true, but it's also who cares?
That's right.
We have something worth conserving here. And if you want to conserve that tradition of freedom, if you want to preserve free markets, the ability to go to work and earn a living and understand the history of America. That's a complex history, but a really beautiful history. If you want to do any of those things, you are now a conservative. So in essence, I would say it's everyone versus the wokesters.
Yes.
But the wokesters have basically captured the
institutions.
Well,
they're enormously powerful.
They're powerful.
Which is the strangest part of this.
Well, because they're basically, it's a hostage situation in essence. You know, like they're wielding this power, which is cancel culture. They're wielding guilt over people. They're wielding destruction over their lives.
Exactly right.
We don't behave like that.
No.
So what? AOC is wrong on everything. Okay. She can still live in America as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But these people, they really want to take over everything. And we're watching the institutional
That's
collapse
exactly right.
of everything. Yeah.
Look, you guys have heard me talk about Good Ranchers before. Good Ranchers began with the standard of bringing top quality, 100% American-born, raised and harvested meat to families across America. This vision was instilled into them from their grandparents that owned community grocery stores and believed in trust, charity, and family values. GoodRanchers.com partners directly with only American ranches from across the United States to bring the highest quality meat straight to your door. Look, if you guys want to sign up for Good Ranchers, I highly recommend it. It's beef the way it used to be. Every new subscription gets a Berkshire Hickory honey smoked ham for free. Our Berkshire hams are 100% no antibiotics ever, 100% hormone free, 100% born and raised in America. And as always, Good Ranchers is 100% American beef and chicken and now pork. Steaks are always USADA choice and higher. Support local farmers and families. Don't waste your money on cheap cuts or overseas beef. Buy American at goodranchers.com. That's goodranchers.com, promo code Charlie. Goodranchers.com, promo code Charlie. So, Dave, I want to ask you a question because you live near these people. I don't think you're friends with them anymore. No, but you know, but by the way, just, you know, I'm never more serious than when I'm joking. This is why the country's going for a very difficult place, because I call them like those people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like there's a distance. There's such a distance to it. And I mean the wokesters.
Well, I hate to tell you, they call you worse than those people.
I couldn't care less.
Yeah.
The wokesters, though, I love that term. Yeah. You got to use that, James. Do they realize that they've been infected?
You know what happens, and this is what I was warning about. You can literally find videos of me 6 years ago before anyone was really talking about this. I kept saying, you know, guys, I'm not really on board the Trump thing, but I'm pretty sure he's not Hitler, right? And I'm pretty sure his supporters aren't Nazis. But the more that you do that, the more that you call Trump Hitler, you call his supporters Nazis, it's not what you're doing to them. It's what you're doing to yourself, because ultimately you're painting yourself into an intellectual corner. You call everyone who disagrees with you is the worst thing in the world, right? Well, now you may find out that maybe they're not. Maybe Donald Trump a year ago, basically right now, was giving a State of the Union speech where he was talking about all-time low black unemployment, all-time low Latino unemployment, all these things. The Congressional Black Caucus sat there like this. The Dems sat there like this. There were a lot of good things happening. But you can't suddenly be like, you know, that Hitler guy, he's pretty good. I'm shocked. That Hitler guy is not that bad. So what they do is they can never acknowledge that they might have made a mistake. And by the way, they also know, well, wait a minute, if I've used these horrible tactics on other people, I know what's going to happen when I walk. So meaning that they'll use that same stuff on me. And that's what keeps people so many, I would say, politically closeted, which in many ways is what my book was about, because people are afraid. If you've tried to destroy all these people's careers, you've tried to decimate people's lives and just ruin everything, well, you know how that works. And then you end up holding yourself hostage. So I would say wokeism is sort of like if you pictured 20 people in a circle and everyone's got a gun and everyone's just waiting to who's going to shoot first. That really is what this thing is. So I think a lot of them know it. A lot of them don't. I mean, I would say the 15-year-olds, the kids that are getting infected with this, they don't really know. But it's our job to hopefully wake them up.
Yeah. But what's incredible is that you said it perfectly. The institutions are all infected.
Yeah.
Higher education, our government, civil service, bureaucracies, corporations, the media institutions. But the ideas are actually generally very unpopular with the people.
Yeah.
And so there's an incongruency here. It's not as if the presidential election, if you believe the results, which, you know, I've made my position perfectly clear that I believe there was, you know, very much there was fraud all up and down. But if you believe the results, in no way was this a referendum saying that they were in support of wokeness. Biden tap danced away from it.
Well, what's ironic is I heard a lot of liberals saying, okay, we're not down with that crazy lefty stuff. We're not Bernie bros. But Biden, 78-year-old dementia, been in politics for 47 years, Biden will be the bulwark against this thing. Except you see what's happening now. Every single pick that he's had, it's all about diversity and equity, which are things that have nothing to do with nothing.
With qualifications.
I want to know, Buttigieg, do you know anything about transportation? No, but he's gay, so it's great. And that really is what what they're doing.
He couldn't fix potholes in South Bend as a mayor, and he's going to run the Department of Transportation.
I don't care if he's gay or if he's straight or if he's black or he's white or he's trans or he has a limp or a lazy eye. None of that matters. Can you do the job? It would be great if we could package all that into one person, because that would deal a lot of
with the limp, lazy eye.
You limp, lazy eye, gay, black, trans, you know, you really just get that into one person. Then they could just put them up there, hold them out there like Lion King. Everybody would bow. It would be,
That this is the oppression Olympics that you've been talking about for years.
Yeah. But I'll tell you this, Charlie. Because you were one of the people trying to drag me on the Trump thing, if I have one regret, I would say in the last year, I didn't publicly say I was supporting Trump until I did the Kyle Kashuv podcast, the first episode of the Kyle Kashuv podcast.
I didn't know Kyle July, has a podcast now.
He just launched it, but he interviewed me in July. It was right before I went off the grid. You know, I do that off the grid.
I want to ask you about that. It's one of the coolest things.
And he asked me, and I said it for the first time, but then I went off the grid for a month. So it wasn't until this fall, really, that I started saying it. And it's come with a major cost. It's come with the cost in terms of my family. It's come with the cost in terms of my friends. I have no doubt that it's closed business opportunities, and I live in a crazy town where people give me the evil eye and all that stuff. But if anything, I regret not doing it earlier, because I do view Trump, for whatever reason, for whatever bizarre biblical sci-fi strange reason, Trump was the last guy that was going to save us. And unfortunately, if he's done, if this really is the end of it, and I'm not quite sure of that, and I still think he may have some tricks, and I'm probably a little closer to you on the bullish side of it, we'll see. But if he's done, I think there are going to be an awful lot of people that will go, man, I really dropped the ball, because this guy was not perfect, and he's orange, and he speaks funny, and his hair, and blah, blah, blah. But this guy, he loved this country, and he just wanted people to succeed and everything else. And we are going to usher in something in the name of diversity and equity, something that is so profoundly anti-American. And hey, I tried. You tried. And we'll see.
You have been warning against many of the problems we're living through right now. And the one that I think you've been the most articulate, and probably you were I was thinking, who was talking about this when no one else was talking about it? And I think it was you and Mike Cernovich, which is the tech issue.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Back in 16, 17, you were talking about this.
Well, because I was a creature of the internet, right? Like I was, you know, everyone and their brother has a podcast now, no offense, you know, Charlie Kirk show is pretty fantastic, but you know, there are more podcasts than people at this point. Like, I don't know who's even listening to all these podcasts, but I was one of the first people in on this thing and doing long form and the whole thing. Yeah, no, everybody's got a podcast. You know, all of these people have podcasts. Everyone in this room has a podcast. Like,
it's true.
But
at least half the room does actually.
But it started to become obvious to me that something was deeply wrong with big tech. You could tell. Like before, now it's just profoundly obvious, right? We label all of Trump's tweets lies, but Biden can lie about very fine people and it's not a lie. Like we all know it, right? What did Twitter do 2 weeks before the election? This is a little insider baseball, but I think it's the perfect example of this thing. 2 weeks before the election, Twitter changed the way you can retweet. Remember?
I remember this.
Yeah,
and then they just changed it back.
And they just changed it back. So think about it. 2 weeks before, they said, okay, now you're going to have to press tweet twice. Now, I know that sort of sounds like nothing, but it's not. They did something to fundamentally change the speed that we can get information
retweet
at.
Retweet twice, right?
So you had to press retweet twice to retweet, okay? So it sounds a little stupid to be talking about it, but it's an important little thing. 2 weeks before the election, they said the way we trade information that we've all done for years now, we're going to suddenly change it. And the obvious reason was, well, we know some bad stuff's coming down the pike for us, and we want to make sure people can't share it as quickly, right? They can't spread it around as quickly. Well, then they got the result that they wanted, and what did Twitter do last week? They reversed it. So now we go back to the old way. That's just one of a million ways that they can deboost and they can shadow ban and the rest of it. But, you know, frankly, I mean, we're all just sitting here like sitting ducks. I mean, that's why I started locals.com, because I think there's ways that you can fight big tech. And if David could beat Goliath, then maybe Dave can beat Google. We'll see. But I think the 2021 is going to be the year of the bannings. That's what I think will happen here, because Trump at least was warning them. Maybe Trump dropped the ball and should have moved on 230 faster, or maybe Congress should have gotten involved faster. I like Cruz. I like Hawley. Rand Paul. I like Hawley. But nobody did anything. The truth is they gave speeches and nobody did anything. And I know you like those guys too. And if they were sitting here, I would gladly say the same thing to their faces.
And I think they would agree. I just think they would blame the legislative process,
the system,
which might be true.
Sure.
Sure.
So that's sort of a separate issue about just how politics works. But in essence, no one did anything. And come January 20th, if Biden is president, well, now you've got the institutional elite and the swamp has recalibrated to itself, you know, as sort of all come together again. And now you've got big tech. And it's like, why not? Why leave Charlie Kirk on Twitter?
Why leave
anyone against lockdowns on Twitter? Why not? They're public health people and they're Nazis because they support Trump. So I think we have a world of hurt coming in the next year.
How's locals.com doing?
It's doing great. We're absolutely blowing up. Our month over month is fantastic. We've built.
Talk about why you started it, what it is.
Yeah. We build digital homes for creators. You own the content. You set the rules. It's your data. It's everything that big tech is, but reverse. We can't solve everybody's problems. I can't solve all Alex Jones's problems tomorrow, right? He has problems with payment processors and other things. But in essence, we're giving you the tools to have a digital life. And it's not a platform the way Twitter or YouTube is a platform. If someone comes into my locals community, which is RubenReport.com, well, first off, it's subscription based. So you got to pay me. Now, if you're there to troll me and cause havoc, well, I can boot you out. But that's not an infringement on anyone's free speech, because you could still be in Charlie Kirk's Locals. You could still be anywhere else. Just the same way that I respect anyone's ability to say what they want outside of my home, but I don't invite everybody into my home to say whatever they want.
And you've seen great growth.
Steal my stuff. Yeah.
I see a lot of people seeking alternatives right now.
Yeah. The company's blowing up, and, you know, it's a tough battle, because I'll tell you this. I mean, going to Silicon Valley and trying to raise funds for something in the free speech space, you want to meet a bunch of cowards. Go to San Francisco. I mean, these people that are worth billions of dollars.
You'll meet other people too.
No, there are other people too, for sure. But like, you want to meet a bunch of
I don't mean good people.
I've met some pretty horrible people in San Francisco.
Look, it's not often you get a gift for yourself, but I need to tell you about something that you got to buy. It's called a hedge against all the craziness in the market. It's a free 22-carat American Gold Eagle coin. Not bad, right? A free 22-carat American Gold Eagle coin in a special presentation box. To qualify, you have to take out a precious metals IRA or 401k rollover with Noble Gold. Makes a lot of sense right now to keep your savings and investments safe. Who knows what the next administration will do or what's going to happen? So look, we don't know what's coming next, and you have to have a hedge. They're creating money. Austrian School of Economics is completely under attack. So if you guys want to hedge against all the market volatility, and we know what's coming, inflation is coming. Call 877-646-5347 and get the special coin offer, but don't hang around. That's 877-646-5347. Tell them that Charlie Kirk sent you. Again, that's Noble Gold, 877-646-5347.
We got to tell the story about your backpack in San Francisco.
Yeah, we go out to dinner at a Morton Steakhouse, nice steakhouse, me, you, and Candace.
I tell this story all the time. The
three of us go out to dinner.
I have a video of it.
Yeah, and we go out to the car after. The car, it's a freaking Escalade, right? The
security guy. I think you were there, right? Dan was there.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, right.
The windows were shattered.
They stole my bag, had my computer in it, my comedy notebook. So there's some homeless guy on crack telling my stupid jokes wandering around San Francisco.
That's the popular guy, right? When you exit on the 405 right there.
Yeah, but that's what. But remember, the funny thing was that I tweeted after, with glass everywhere and the car all busted up. I tweeted out, left my bag in the car in San Francisco and somebody jacked it and whatever. And then I got literally hundreds of people like, what kind of schmuck? Can I say schmuck on the Charlie Kirk show?
Sure.
I said, what kind of schmuck leaves their bag in a car in San Francisco? Like, the question is not, oh, your car got broke into, that's a problem. It's more like, what kind of idiot would leave a bag in a car?
Stupid?
Yeah, what are you, stupid? Yeah.
And so what was amazing, though, is no one called the police until we came out.
Nothing. Just glass
She's
everywhere.
She's like, oh, it's 64 degrees outside.
Right.
The Transamerica building looks beautiful. Shattered windows in a Chevy Suburban parked next to Morton's. Everything's great.
Yeah, nobody cares. But that's what progressive policies lead to. I live in LA. The amount of homeless encampments.
Oh,
the homeless encampment by me, they're now putting extensions on their houses. They've built these houses and now they're adding
Who
other
built
houses to it.
The homeless,
the homeless people. They build
so are they
these structures.
Homeless anymore?
I don't know what counts as a house. That would be a good debate. What actually counts as a house? They go
but
under
they
the bridge. They
home,
build. Well, they build
homeless.
These structures, and then they add to the structures, and then they add
but
more to the structures.
A home,
Charlie. This is the world we're in, my friend. What can I tell you?
And they were deemed essential in New York City, so they could continue.
I'm pretty sure they don't pay property taxes.
So, you know? That we got to fix.
Yeah, that we got to fix. That's a tax you're okay with.
No, I'm being facetious. I'm saying they could pay the property tax with your stolen backpack or something.
Yeah.
Locals is doing well.
Locals is doing well.
And so what are you doing personally to anticipate the year of the banning in your own terms?
Yeah. Well, look, all of my stuff is on local. So are there ways that they could come after us that are really technologically complex? Yeah, but it's not the stuff they're doing now. But if they took me out today, which they could do to anybody, I mean, really understand that. You know that. They could take any of us out, take out our Twitter, take out our YouTube.
They control everything.
Literally. And if you think about it, when you think about what you just discussed with James, the sort of ideological rot around wokeism and how it has become a secular religion. If you thought you were fighting Hitler and Nazis,
you would totally
lockdown Nazis, you would do it. That's the thing. I mean, that's the thing that the average person, I don't think, understands. The extremes that these guys will go to silence their opponents, I don't think we have a good grasp on how extreme it is. So is Joe Biden going to stop them from doing it? There will be no one in the political establishment that will stop them from doing it. And there will be nobody in the tech establishment. So I think everybody that isn't, I mean, this is a sales pitch for locals at some level, but it's a sales pitch for everyone to, if you have some stuff that's online, you better figure out where to put it pretty quick because it's coming. If you think your Dropbox is safe, if you think your iTunes account or any, if you think any of that stuff is safe and you've publicly posted about being anti-lockdown or pro-Trump or just anything, like anything non-woke, just wait. I have a pretty good track record on calling this stuff and just wait and they'll come for you.
And the payment processing is next.
Yeah, all of it. Well, at some point what we will get to is why should Republicans be allowed to bank? That really is why will people who are spreading a disease, a virus, why will
they
be allowed to
use national security terms too?
And should they be allowed to get on planes and should they be allowed to cross state borders and the rest of it? I mean, this is not, I know this sounds like a dystopian future, but
this is where we're headed in 6 months.
Well, because progressives promise utopia, but there's no such thing as utopia. There's dystopia. And
just go to San Francisco.
Yeah, go to San Francisco. And then who is the mayor of San Francisco? Gavin Newsom, who's now the governor of California. You can't make it up.
And the thing that people have to recognize and realize, and you get this, is eventually people will say, well, why are we living in the same country with these people then?
Yeah. Well, that's partly why I stayed in California, at least for now. If someone like me can't live in California, if that's the place where we've really gotten to, where everywhere I go now, everybody says to me, Dave, what are you doing in California? If that really
is... That was my opening line.
Yeah. No, I know. But if that's really where we're at, that people are going to truly have to siphon off along ideological lines. Well, then what is the United States of America? The beauty of because the beauty of this thing is that you have different states and different states have different policies and this experiment is running.
You have
high
a unity
taxes.
To it. That's the point.
Yes. And if the unity thing is frayed now, where someone like me can't live in Cali, well, then what happens when Cali truly bottoms out, meaning is completely bankrupt, destroyed, crime, disease, homelessness, blah, blah, blah. Are the people of
riots.
Texas going to suddenly be like, yes, we would like to bail them out? No, they're going to be at war with them. So again,
I don't even know if it'll be war. It could just be a national divorce where it's like, see ya.
Yeah,
There was a very funny meme that the left made to try to ridicule conservatives.
The left made a funny meme? I find that hard to
believe. No, it was funny because they didn't mean it to be
funny. Yeah, exactly.
Because the left can't meme.
Yeah.
But it was a picture of the West Coast and the East Coast, and it connected to Canada, and it called the United States of Canada. And then the middle part of the country, the Midwest, it just said Jesus Land.
And I saw this. This is a couple weeks ago. I saw this thing.
And
it was like,
this sounds great.
Yeah, not too bad.
And it was like, how terrible is this? I'm like, no, this is where we're headed.
Yeah. But what a sad...
But they were proposing it as like, look at this wonderful idea.
Right, right. Thinking that Jesus Land in the middle of the country would be this backwards whatever. And actually the answer would be no. The place where freedom would be free, where religious diversity and ideological diversity would all flourish would be that place. I mean, that's the irony. That's why they can't meme, because they don't have a real understanding of what reality is. And you got to, you know, start with something real and then you can figure out what the funny part is.
That's exactly right. So you're about to address our students.
Yes.
What are you going to say?
Well, I think I'm going to talk about this meal that I had last night. I'm still just staggered. So and then
you,
she brought me a piece of cake at the end. It was incredible.
Eat?
I had, what did I have? I had a grouper. Had a little Florida grouper.
How was it?
It was nice. It was pecan crusted. Quite delicious over at Breakers over there.
Oh, that's a good place.
Yeah, they're all right. They ain't cheap over there. But I'm willing to splurge a little bit.
For the single meal.
Turning Point pays okay. I thought, I'm going to have
for the single meal you eat the whole year?
Yeah, for the one meal. Yeah, yeah. Usually I just eat dog food in California.
Yeah.
You know?
So the students are thrilled to hear from you.
Yeah.
And you've done a lot of good work for our country in a variety of ways. Let's close with this. What do you see that's coming that you think everyone is missing?
Well, the banning thing that I just talked about and how messy it's going to get on social media. But I really do think that we are either in the first steps or perhaps the middle, and we don't know it yet, of some kind of revolution. I really believe that. And that's language that I would not have used a year ago.
I'm surprised to hear you say this.
No, but the thing is, we are.
No, but I completely agree.
But it's not because we want it. It's not because we want it. There are forces at play right now that are trying to undo everything that is good about America. The idea about these lockdowns, and even as we're talking right now, I saw everybody's going to get $600. Well, congratulations. Thank you for $600. It's funny. They never say, how about we just don't take money from you anymore? They never do that, right? The system is corroded, and now there is basically a foreign entity in the system that is here to destroy it. And our universities won't stand. We know about media and our intellectual elite and the rest of it. And we're going to have to figure this out. I mean, this is... I don't like doing like Paul Revere, like the alarm thing, but it's like, we better figure this out fast, because if you would have told any of us in January, hey, you know, in December, right before Christmas, you guys are going to be completely locked in your houses. Almost nobody's going to be at work. Your mayor's going to tell you not to walk your dog, and you're all going to take it like a bunch of pathetic pansies. You'd be like, but what are you talking about? But
I'm
we all did.
American.
Yeah.
Come on.
But we all did. We all did. There's nobody. I mean, there's a sliver of people, mostly Trump supporters, who are fighting it. But for the most part, we've all taken it. And you know what? In 3 months from now, they're going to say, okay, we just found out about super COVID. And then after that, they'll say—
No, they already have it.
No, I know. COVID just started in Europe. I know. So they're going to—
Everything we said that they said was going to happen.
Yeah. And they'll keep— they're not going to suddenly be like, oh, you know, we solved this problem. Hey, everybody, freedom again. Enjoy. So we have a real freaking problem on our hands, but I have nothing better to do. That's the thing. I wanted to be in the NBA. I have a torn ACL and I'm 44. Like, I got nothing better to do.
You wanted to be in the NBA?
I did. I had a pretty sweet finger roll.
Is that right? You don't play basketball anymore?
Not, I can shoot, but I can't really move. I have torn ACL.
I never knew about this. This is minorly more important than making the Phoenix Suns.
Yeah.
Everything you said is exactly right. This is the future of our civilization in more ways than one in the next couple of years. And the issue, I mean, this event is in many ways like a peaceful protest against these lockdowns.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we're one of the only ones to do an event all year.
No, is this probably the biggest event in America right now in terms of people being
outside
in the world?
Of some it wouldn't form surprise of a me. Chinese rave concert.
Oh yeah, I saw Wuhan. They're partying in Wuhan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It might be the biggest. So I think we got to roll and you got to go speak.
I got to go figure out what to talk about.
Thousands of screaming students, Dave.
Real people.
Actual human beings.
This is very exciting.
Thanks for joining me.
My pleasure.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your questions, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our program, it's charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com, tpusa.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless. Speak to you soon.